help me in giving him a great big welcome.
It's my privilege to be here. I'm not worthy. He is. Amen. The passage that we're going to look at and start today will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse, or chapter 2 verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we desire to worship you. We desire to hear from you today. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit to come afresh upon us. Lord, we need the full armor of God upon us. Touch our hearts today, Lord. We thank you that the Word of God is alive and living. And we're desperate to hear from you. Speak to each one of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. For context, let's read verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What we're going to focus on this morning is verse 2. For I determined, and I would ask everyone here today, have you made a determination? Have you come to the conclusion? Have you come to an evaluation? Have you have a purpose? Do you have a plan? Do you have a goal? What is that goal? I would challenge you today. Because here's what the Word says. And here's what God wants to speak to your hearts today. I have determined. I've determined. I prepared. I pre-planned. And there's a purpose in every day in my life. And that is to, one, to know Jesus. The totality of Jesus. All about Jesus. To get to know Him. Who He is. What He did. Where did He come from? What's His plan? And second, crucifixion. To know what that means. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to the whole world? One thing matters. Jesus Christ. Have you determined? Have you purposed in your heart? Have you purposed in your heart to have Jesus as central in all your thoughts? That's tough, right? But have you purpose? Have you planned? Have you prayed to the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, keep Jesus central in my thoughts, in my thought life. Lord Jesus, if anything comes in other than you, I'm going to take it captive and put it at the cross. Give it to Jesus. I'm going to cast those cares, cast those worries, cast those burdens, cast those problems, cast those financial issues. I'm going to put them at the cross. I'm going to give them to Jesus because He's the only one that can handle them. Have you predetermined that? Have you planned? When you're talking, when you're communicating with others, that, you know, your speech would be with Jesus in the midst. That He'd be central in all that you do. Have you planned beforehand? Are you willing when you're in a crowd and people are speaking and they're speaking things that are contrary to Jesus that you're either going to say something led by the Spirit or you're going to walk away? Have you pre-planned? Have you determined in your heart that this is true? That this Word of God is true? That what it says, even if you don't believe it, you're going to follow it. You're going to get to know Jesus. You guys all know it's about intimacy. It's about a relationship. He loves to hear your prayers. He can take anything and deal with it. Do you know that? Are you living that life? Have you planned ahead of time when the trials come, when troubles come, when finance issues come, when friends turn their back on you, when people gossip about you, when things happen? I pre-planned, I predetermined to get to know Jesus, to throw out those things, to take them to the cross. That's my first challenge for you today, is to determine in your heart ahead of time. Guess what? As you leave this church today, there's going to be trials. There's going to be thoughts of all sorts. But I pray that you would have predetermined to keep Jesus in the center of everything and to take those thoughts captive and put them at the cross. For I determined, my goal is not to know anything among you. Guess what? Anything among you. There's so many things that can come in and strip you and take you away from the most important thing, Jesus. The cares of this world, the desire for riches, the desire for purpose, the desire to look good before men. Good things can get in the way of your determination, your goal to get Jesus. Ministry can get in the way. Your job can get in the way. Your bank account can get in the way. The position can get in the way. Doing whatever it may be can get in the way of the first thing. We want our lives to be right with the first thing. The first thing is Jesus, and the overflowing of Jesus is where we want to be. His life in us, His life working through us, and the overflow of His life will touch every aspect of our life. Some people seek education. Some people seek a savings account. Some people want to have good insurance. But all of us, we know, and we've determined ahead of time that it's all about Jesus. Now, He can guide us in all those things. He can provide in every way. He has no problem. He can lead us to higher education. Praise the Lord. But the goal is to see Jesus and have Him lead us wherever He would lead us. If we put anything before Jesus, it becomes an idol. It becomes a problem. It will stunt our growth. We'll lose our faith. We'll lose our fire for Him. We'll lose that passion for Him. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about your Jesus. He is so awesome. He loves us. He cares for us. What did He do? He died on the cross for us. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. What did He do? The second part of my message today is, who is Jesus? And what did He do? Let's turn to Colossians for a moment. Colossians chapter 1. So who is this Jesus that we want to get to know better, that He's going to be our life? In verse 15 of chapter 1, we're told He, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Jesus, He created all things. It declares here, everything that was created by Jesus. If somebody asked you something, we know that Jesus knows it all. He created all things. Verse 17. And He, referring to Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Not only did He create all things, but He holds all things together. He's in control. And verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He may have preeminence. He's number one. He should be central in our lives. And verse 19 tells us, for it pleased the Father that in Him, that in Jesus, all the fullness shall dwell. Wow, that's our Jesus. Created all things, holds all things together, and the Father is pleased and blessed. What did He do? Let's go back to verse 13 and 14. He, Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He's taken each one of us from darkness, from wickedness, from evil, from doing everything we wanted to do, doing our will, being our own God. No good things could we do. He took us. He delivered us from that power of darkness. He moved on our hearts. He showed us that Jesus was the way, the only way. And conveyed us, had us enter into Him, enter in His inheritance, be born again, be a child of God. We have a new inheritance. We've become a new creature in Christ. The old ways have passed away. The dark ways have passed away. The old man is passing away. We have glory to come. Death does not have dominion over us. We can rejoice. He's conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. Wow, we're heirs. We're children of God. We have an inheritance. Death does not have dominion over us. We have a future and a hope. Praise the Lord. His love is upon every one of us. His heart for us is love continually. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been set free from sin. The power of sin, the penalty of sin. Through His blood, the cross, His death. What did He do? He took sin upon Himself, for He had no sin. He was perfect. But He took our sin on him, upon Himself, that we might be heirs, that we might be redeemed. The sins have been forgiveness, have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a couple more passages. Let's turn to John chapter 1. Who is this Jesus? John chapter 1, 1 through 3, and then verse 14. Who is this Jesus that we want to get to know, that we want to fall in love with, that He is to be number one, that we desire by the Holy Spirit through the grace of God, that He might be the central theme in our heart, central theme in our life, in our walk, in our thought life, in what we say, in what we hear, in what we speak. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we're told, in the beginning, before there was nothing, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Son was with the Father. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Again, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. We already read that previously. Who was that that made everything? Jesus. And the Word that was with God. Jesus with God. We're told in verse 14. Jump down to verse 14. And the Word that was at the beginning, that created all things, became flesh. Was born of a virgin. Lived a life here. Clothed with man. Became flesh. dwelt among us, became a man. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Jesus that was at the beginning, that created all things, came down from heaven and put on flesh and dwelt among us, we're told. And they in that time beheld him. They touched him. They sat with him. They knew that he was the Son of God. He came in grace and truth. You want to see grace? Look at Jesus. You want to see truth? Look at Jesus. The Word foretold of him coming, and all that happened in the Word he fulfilled. His words matched the Word of God. His life matched the Word. The grace that's available to you and I was available to him. What did he do? He submitted himself to the Father. He was led by the Spirit. He had a prayer life with his dad, like we can have. That's who he is. Now, what did he do? Let's turn to John chapter 3. We'll look at 12 through 17. Here, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to the heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world they might be saved." That the world might, through him, might be saved. Again, Jesus in heaven came down, gave his life, so that anyone who would believe in him would have life. It wasn't to condemn the world, it was to set the people in the world free. Free from sin, free from death. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Who is this Jesus? "Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Again, Jesus Christ, he humbled himself with God, chose to become like a man. This is the Jesus that we want to know. This is the one that we want to put our trust in. This is the one we can put our trust in. All that we see, all that we know, he created. He spoke into existence. This Jesus, he came to deal with Satan, to deal with the devil, to set us free. What did he do? Let's read 8 through 11. "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. God died, took on man in his human nature, went to the cross. Even the death on the cross. Therefore, because he was obedient, because he humbled himself, because he said, not my will, but your will. He was led by the Spirit, filled with grace, truth. God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the God that we worship. The God that was willing. That was willing to come down from heaven. To put on flesh. To walk among them. To go to the cross. To suffer. To go to the cross knowing that you and me would have that opportunity to have our sins forgiven. To have eternal life. Is this the Jesus you want to get to know? Is this the Jesus you want to put number one in your life? Is this the Jesus you want to follow? Is he worthy to be worshipped? Is he worthy to be followed? Yes. What does this mean to us? I've come to know, so I've made many mistakes in my life. Sought money. Sought the cares of this world. Sought the material things. Sought thrill seeking. Sought snow skiing, scuba diving. You name it. I've tried it. They're all vanity. They're all worthless. They're all lies from the devil. The only thing that matters in this life is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What does this mean to us? How should we respond to this? We should worship Him as we sang how wonderful it was to just see our Lord in the midst of the words that we spoke. To have Him die on the cross for me and for you. And to know that He's given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit until He returns. Wow. To have Him say, good and well done, faithful servant. That we're willing to take up our cross and follow Him. That we're willing to live this life in the flesh right now. For Him in every way. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now as I see this, and as I am challenged, the first thing I realized is that I can't do these things. But you know, there's someone that can, and He wants to help. The Holy Spirit has promised to teach us all things. What you want to do is when you hear the Word, you want to believe it by faith. You want to trust in it. And you want to take it to prayer, and you want to ask the Holy Spirit to make it real in your life. You can't do the things of God. It's by the Spirit in you that will do those things. By the grace of God touching your life. By Jesus living in and through your lives. Here in Galatians 2:20, Paul declares, and this should be our prayer, I have been crucified with Christ. Have you been crucified with Christ? What does that mean to be crucified with Christ? We're told the first step in discipleship is what? Take up your cross and follow me. That's the first step. That's the first step in life. I've been crucified with Christ. Say no to the old man. Say no to the old ways. Say yes to Jesus. Say no to my wills and my wants and say yes to Jesus. say no to the things of this world and say yes to Jesus, to have a heavenly mindset, to read His Word and hear what the Word says and to know His Word and follow that truth. Say no to the ways of the world and the ways of the old life and say yes to Jesus. I've been crucified with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. He died for you and saved you. But now He wants you to live every day in that crucified life. Not your will, but His will. It is no longer I who live. The old Steve is dead and crucified. The old you is dead and crucified. The old you wants to pop its head and have its way. The old me wants to think about the things in the old days. But I know, and you know, they're worthless. They're vanity. There's no value. It's just gonna be death. For I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's what I want. That's what you want. I know. Have Christ live in you. When I was in Bible college, I was praying, Lord, I want more of your Spirit. Lord, I want more of you. And a little small voice said to me, you need to crucify yourself. And I said, that is so hard. I had good ideas and good plans and good things. But you know what? None of those things will last and none of those things will bear fruit. The only thing will bear fruit is when I die. And I get His life in exchange. And His life lives through me. But Christ lives in me. So my prayer changed. What did my prayer change to? Lord, let me take up my cross and put it at your cross. Because I know that as I die, I get you. I get your Spirit. Amen? But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Faith. That trust. That belief in another. Who do we believe in? Jesus. Who do we put our trust in? Jesus. Who do we not put our trust in? You. Me. The world. The ways of the world. The world system. I put my trust in Him. By faith. He's central to my faith, to my trust. I know I can't trust myself, but I can trust in Him. Myself needs to die. Myself needs to be crucified. Every day, every hour, every week, every moment. Lord, take this flesh, take these thoughts, and put them at your cross. I want to take up your cross. I want to have that resurrection life. I want to have that life that's heavenly bound, that's Jesus bound, that's resurrection bound. Again, you can't do these things. It's only by the work of the Spirit. So it's believing and walking in by faith. It's trusting that God can do this work that you can't do. So you admit, I can't do it. But God said He'll do it for me if I trust Him. If I allow my flesh to be crucified, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Wow. Not only do we have a future and a hope, but He wants to give us life in this life. You want to meet a miserable Christian? He's born from above, he's a new creature, and he's living this new life like the old life. You ever notice that? Nothing goes right. They're critical. They're always mad. It's horrible. When you get the new birth, when you get the new life is a death to the old life. And now the new life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7 for a moment. A very common passage on the old life and the new life. We see here in verse 18, "For I know that in me, in my self-efforts, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I would will to do, I do not do, but at the evil I will not to do, that I practice." We all know there's the old nature and the new nature. We all know there's voices that are telling us to do this, and there's voices that are telling to do that. We need to discern which voice we're listening to. That's why we have the Word of God, to test everything. Is this from Satan? Is this from the world? Is this from my flesh? Or is this from Jesus? We need to discern those things. But as you turn to verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Have you come to that place that you realize, "Oh, wretched man that I am"? Or do you still think there's some good things in you? If you think there's still good things in you, you haven't come to the place of the cross. Because the Bible says there's no good thing in you, and nothing you do in your own strength will reach heaven. Amen? "Oh, wretched man that I am." You have to come to that place that you realize there's nothing good about you. There's nothing good. There's nothing that will have eternal effect that you can do in your natural abilities. You need to come to that place. We try and try and try and try, and everything just fails, and we wonder why. Because God has a better plan. That plan is to give up. That plan is to recognize there's nothing good in me. The one thing that's good in me is Jesus. The one thing that's good in me is the Holy Spirit, that He left till He returns again. The only thing that will last, the only thing that will have eternal effect, is what the Holy Spirit does in and through our life. What Jesus does in and through our life. After we've died, and then whatever we do will be Jesus' life, will be the Spirit's life. That will be what will be important. That will be what will have eternal lasting life. "Oh, wretched man, oh, wretched woman, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Have you come to the place? Have you come to the place where you realize there's nothing good? There's nothing good you can do. Some of us go, yeah, there's a few things. God's Word declares to us, we need to come to that place. We need to come to that place to recognize that. And when we do, you know what will happen? Here's what we'll cry out. "And I thank God," the next verse, "through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." It's only by Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ that I no longer have to walk in the life of the old man, but now I can walk in the new creation, in the life that's born from above, in the spiritual life empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's going to be battles. The old man's going to be telling you this. The new man's going to be telling you this. But you're going to submit and take captive your mind and walk and predetermine and plan and goal to walk the way Jesus has asked you to walk, the way the Word has told you to walk. You're going to weed through your thoughts. The fiery darts of the enemy are going to hit you. And you're going to determine, you're going to predetermine to take all those thoughts that are not God and put them at the cross. All those things, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the world, the pride of life, all those things that are enemies of God, you're going to take those thoughts. I wish I had a house. I wish I had a car. I wish I had a big bank account. I wish I was skiing at Mammoth. I wish I was at the beach. Where do all those things go? They're at the cross. You know what I want? I want Jesus and Him alone. Because in Jesus, you know what's found? Life. And you know what Jesus wants in us? He wants more than you could ever ask and think, we're told in Ephesians 3:20. Wow. Which do you want? Your way or His way? What do you want? Your will or His will? You know what your will get you? Death. death and death. You know what His will gets you? Life. Victorious life. Resurrection life. Hope and a future. You choose. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Predetermine what choices you're going to make. Predetermine what voices you're going to hear. Choose. It's a decision you make. It's a decision you plan ahead of time. It's a decision you pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, come help me. Help me to make the right choices. I can't do it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Praise God, it's Jesus Christ. He'll deliver me. He'll set me free. He'll put me on the right path. He'll get me on that journey that the Spirit is leading and guiding. We'll have victory in our thought life, in our actions, in our walk, in our tongue, in our hearing. We'll choose to turn away from TV programs that are not edifying to the Lord. We'll turn away from things that our eyes see that aren't helpful. We're going to turn to Jesus. He's our hope. He's our victory. He's our everything. He's our all in all. He wants to be our I am. He wants to fulfill His life in and through our life. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Again, what does this mean to you and me? Philippians chapter 3, 7 through 14. How do we apply this? Man, we see, we've predetermined our goal is to know Jesus, every aspect of Jesus. From beginning to end, in a personal relationship, our goal is to understand and know the cross, the totality of the cross, what it all means, what it means to me, what it means to you, how we're to live. What's the fulfillment of the cross? What does that mean? How do we apply it to our life today? Yeah, I know I'm going to heaven, but you know, I'm having a tough time here right now. Day by day, it's a battle. The battle's in the mind. There's an enemy. He's a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, seeking who he can lie to, seeking who he can deceive, seeking who he can take off the right track. Let's read what God's word says. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Here again, Paul. He put no confidence in the flesh. He had accomplished all these things. But what does he think about all those things? In my life, you don't know me, but in my life, in my old nature, I had accomplished what the world would say was great. I owned quite a few different companies, basically quit work about 30 years old, traveled the world, did anything I want because I had lots of money. Money was my God. Money was my idol. Today I stand before you as a man that knows that all that stuff, all those lies that are followed are worthless. Money cannot buy happiness. Houses cannot bring happiness. Jobs cannot bring happiness. People cannot bring happiness. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these things I've counted lost for Christ. You know, when I came to the Lord, when He wooed on me and convicted me and brought Him to Himself, and I gave my life to Him, for 10 or so years before that, I compiled riches, millionaire, over and above. He put on my heart, give it all away and walk with me. But. I backslid for 10 years and didn't walk with you to gain all this stuff. And now you want me to give it away? I thought if I had money, I could follow Jesus better. I could worship Him more. What a lie that is. The more I made, the more I went away from Him. The more I didn't need Him, the more I didn't need to trust in Him. I could trust in myself. I had it all. There was a challenge there. Okay, how much do you love me? How much do you want to follow me? You going to let the money get in the way? You going to get the job get in the way? The position? No. It was tough. I gave it all away except a property valued over $1 million and my turbo career. I don't want you to think I was faithful. I was still thinking plan B if the Christian thing didn't work. Praise the Lord. He captured my heart. He showed me He was the only way. He showed that me all those things were worthless. The only thing that is important is Him. Number one, Jesus. Here, Paul. What things were gained to me? These I've counted loss for Christ Jesus. You know, I'm the happiest guy. I praise the Lord. Because why? Because I have a future and a hope. God has blessed me with a beautiful wife. I have two kids in my old life. I didn't want to be married. I didn't want to have kids. They were problems. I cared about me. All it was me, myself, and I. And I thank God that He took me to the cross. That I've been taking my life to the cross ever since. And taking those things, those cares, those worries, those problems. And saying, they're Yours, Lord. I can't handle them. I cast my cares, my burdens, my worries upon You, Lord. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me, Lord? I know it's You. You're my only hope. And You've promised to deliver me, save me, rescue me, and allow me to live this life victoriously. Yes, there will be suffering. Yes, there will be problems. Yes, there will be hardships. But you know what? If I have my eyes on Jesus, the solid rock, guess what? Nothing moves me. I'm sick, I'm in the hospital, I'm financially in debt, everything's going on. My eyes are on Jesus, it doesn't matter. But guess what? If I have my eyes on the circumstances, when things are going good, I'm this happy Christian, yeah, praise the Lord, right? When things are going bad, it's a bummer, isn't it? It's a bummer. Because I have my eyes on the circumstances. I have my eyes on the situations. I have my eyes on the things before me, and I don't have my eyes on Jesus. As soon as I get my eyes on Jesus, as soon as I get my eyes on heaven, everything else is go, whew. Wow. It's amazing how that happens. He's the rock. He's our foundation. He's our all in all. Verse 8 says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. My Lord, my King of Kings. Is He your Lord? If He's your Lord, you'll do what He says, right? You'll follow His ways and His plans by His Spirit, through His grace, not of your own will, not by your power. For whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. Do you count all things rubbish? You need to. Everything is rubbish. Why? Because Jesus is number one. That's all that matters. Everything that would get you from Jesus, take away, minimize, hinder, they're all problems. Number one is Jesus. I count all things as rubbish. Everything except for Jesus and all that He desires me. What's the greatest place to be? Where Jesus has called you to be. What's the greatest thing to be doing? What Jesus has called you to do. Which he predetermined beforehand that you might walk in it. We're told in Ephesians 2:10. Verse 9. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. Man, I tend to walk by sight. I got to stop that. I got to walk by faith. I got to walk in trust of the Spirit working in and through my lives. Without faith, we're told in Hebrews, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's sin, we're told in Romans. That which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know Him, know Jesus, and the power of His resurrection, having that resurrection life and all that means to me today and forever. and the fellowship of His sufferings, that we would jump for joys when we fall into various trials. The sufferings, what do? They produce fruit in our life. Ask for trials. Ask to be broken as we sang that song this morning as we worship Him. Ask Him to take us to the cross. Take that old life, that old man, those old wills, the old ways, and crucify Him and take us to the end of ourself. Sufferings are good. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, He suffered. He was obedient. He humbled Himself. He knew that through the suffering, His character would be built up. The depth of His soul would be empowered by the Spirit, that He would follow Him. You know, the more and more I learn and walk with the Lord, the tougher it is, the more fruit I see as I press in. You know, when I don't want to go minister and I minister, God meets me. When I don't want to pray and I pray, it's just a wonderful prayer life. When I don't want to read the Word and I go, I don't care if I don't want to, because God has told me to. I walk by faith to read the Word, and I get into the Word and He speaks to my heart, to my very soul, to my very being. That flesh, that old man is trying to pop its ugly head anywhere it can. And it works on your feelings and it works on your emotions. When it's time to read the Word and you don't feel like it, who do you think is speaking? It's not God. It's not Jesus. When it's time to pray and be in prayer always and you don't feel like, who do you think's talking to you? It's not Jesus. I guarantee you that. He's told us to pray always. To be in everything prayer. Being conformed to His death. Understanding this victory in death. Understanding that after death is the resurrection life. Understanding that after death is Jesus' life. After death is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Wow. Man, I praise God. We are all going to be resurrected. And we get to live that resurrected life now. We go to sleep. Our bodies left. Our soul continues on. And we're going to be with Him throughout all eternity. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, Christians, brothers and sisters here, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, wow. You know, forget the past. Could have, should have, would have. Who cares? Today is the day to live for Jesus. Forget the future. Wish I had this, wish I had that, wish I had this. Today is the day to live for Jesus Christ. His grace is available today. His love is available today. His forgiveness is available today. It's not for the past. It's not for the future. It's for today. Now. This hour. The next hour. Today is the day. The manna was good for today. The food that He gives you, the nourishment is for today. The grace that He wants to pour out, His riches at Christ's expense is available today, now. Don't worry about what happened and could have happened and would have happened and should have happened and wish I would have done and wish I would have done. What does that get you? Nowhere. Today. Live for today. The past is the past. It's under the cross. It's put behind you today. Live for today. Choose today who you're going to serve. Predetermine what is your plan, what is your goal, who you're going to live for, what voice are you going to hear, and how you're going to walk. Praise the Lord. I praise God my old life is dead. Praise God. And it's my new life that now lives, and I live predetermined, pre-planned. That one thing that matters, that one thing is Jesus, and I want Him to consume my life. I want Him to be all of my life. I want my old life to be dead and for Him to come forth. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, thank You so much. Oh, wretched man that I am, who is worthy? You are, Jesus. We love You. We desire more of You and less of us. Lord, as You've spoken to our hearts, Lord, would each one here walk by faith, trust in You, stand on Your word. Lord, we ask for trials to come our way. We ask for those sufferings to conform us to Christ. Lord, we ask that you might take each one of us to a deeper walk with you. Lord, that path of discipleship is the cross. Lord, would you teach each one here the fullness, the fulfillment, the blessings that are in the cross, the life after the cross, the resurrection life, Lord. Lord, would you help each one here to take every thought captive in Christ Jesus, to hold their tongue, to don't say anything, to pray before they speak. And Lord, may each one predetermined plan to just have you center in their life in every way, in everything. And we just thank you. By your Spirit, through your grace, have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen.